Interest rates are coming back down. What does it all mean for Bitcoin and other risk assets? Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's episode, we're going to discuss the decline in interest rates, how it is impacting markets. We'll also touch on the US economy. Let's start with jobless claims. This morning on Thursday, July 18th, we saw continuing claims and initial claims tick higher once again. Here on the screen, I have continuing claims. This is the number of people that are filing an ongoing jobless or unemployment claim. And so now this number is approaching 2 million. The Fed is watching the labor market slowly deteriorate. It doesn't view the labor market in any sort of crisis, but each one of these prints just shows the Fed that the labor market is slowing. We're going to talk about the Fed, September's rate cut, and I'm going to show you pricing. We'll also talk about the dual-sided risks of the Fed. Now, this is a very important concept to understand with thinking about the Fed's path of interest rates. The Fed has a dual mandate: maximum employment and price stability. That means the Fed is focused on two things. It wants to make sure unemployment isn't too high, as well as inflation isn't too high. Now, with both of these mandates, the Fed has two sets of risks: unemployment getting out of hand or inflation getting out of hand. It uses its tools to address both of these risks. Over the last few years, the only risk was inflation getting too high. And so the Fed raised rates and kept rates high. Now it has dual risks. It has the risk of inflation, but it also has this risk of unemployment. It didn't have that risk 2 years ago. And it didn't really even have it 1 year ago. But over the last 6+ months, that risk has really come into focus for the Fed. And so when you hear the Fed talk about the balance of risks, what they're discussing is the fact that the labor market is more of a risk now than it was, and it needs to take more and more of the conversation. Now, here's the interesting thing that's happening right in front of our eyes. The Fed isn't really addressing this, but the market is, which is that the dual risks are now actually becoming one risk, and that risk is unemployment. The risk of runaway inflation is all but gone. That doesn't mean the risk of 4% CPI isn't there. We believe that it is there and it could get there. But the dominant risk for the Fed right now is this unemployment situation. So we've seen that translate into lower yields as the pricing of the market has really come to this level of understanding the Fed is going to cut at least 3 times here over the next several months. The Bitcoin Layer is presented by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault where you hold 2 of 3 keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage and eliminate exchange risks with Unchained's trading desk. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, easily allowing you to roll over your existing 401ks and IRAs into Bitcoin while still keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to them today. Visit unchained.com/TBL and use code TBL for $100 off when you create an account. So then we have to do the quick math. 75 basis points off from the current level of policy rates puts the policy rate somewhere between 4.5% and 4.75%. And if the Fed is going to cut 1%, that really puts the policy rate somewhere around 4.75%. So we should expect the front end of the curve, the 2-year part of the curve, to come down to that level. We'll show you here shortly that's exactly where it is approaching, but the curve remains inverted. Why is the curve still inverted? It's because there is this demand for 10-year treasuries that will not let up. So let's look here at treasuries. The first chart I have is this 4-year or so chart on 10-year treasuries. You see the increasing trend line here in blue, and the yield has broken down below that trend line, and we've started a new regime for treasuries here in July of 2024. We are in a bull market. That is unquestionable now. And the only question is how far does this bull market have to go? Will it stop at around 4%? Is it heading to 3.5%, or is it heading even lower than 3.5%? Our bias right now is that treasuries will pull towards 3.5%. We've actually said that for about a year now. That's where we feel that fair value will be in this cutting cycle. And so the whole yield curve has room to rally, meaning prices go up and yields come down. Now, I want to take the next chart to zoom closer at what's happening here in this last portion of the trend line and it breaking down so you guys can see, because this is 4 years. So in this next chart is only 1 year, and you see what happened in June. We had a break, and then a retest, and in July, that's the breakdown. Okay, so that's that red arrow pointing down. Now, that's just me directionally showing you where we believe it's going after this really long break. But the extent will have to do with, are we heading into a slowdown, a mild recession, a deep recession, or a financial crisis? All of those are at play, and the probability is, I think, spread pretty evenly across mild recession and deep recession, right? Financial crisis is not something that we can really forecast. It's something that we can worry about by looking at SOFR and the repo markets, which we will do later in this video. But in terms of where's the recession probability, somewhere between mild and large recession, we think that we're pretty evenly between those. Now, where would 10-year yields be in a mild recession? Probably somewhere in between 3.5% to 4%, maybe lower. Where would treasuries be in a very big recession? Maybe closer to 2% to 3%. I would say even, you know, somewhere in the 2.5% range. So if half probability to get to 2.5% and half probability to get to, let's say, 3.75%, we're talking somewhere around 3% or lower on the fair value of 10-year treasuries, just based off of that 50-50 split of probability and just really back of the envelope math that I'm doing here. I do that to show you that 10-year treasuries going to 3.5% shouldn't surprise anybody if it happens over the next 6 months. It really should not surprise anybody at all when thinking about the Fed going from restrictive to less restrictive. If they actually want to get to easy, they have to bring rates below 3%. And so if they're going to bring rates below 3%, the whole curve should come down below 4% at the very, very minimum, and arguably lower. So you can hear the bullish tone in my voice when it comes to treasuries here. My bias here is much lower rates, and that is because I just see the price action breaking down in a way. Readers of our email publication, the bitcoinlayer.com/subscribe, know that we've been tracking this rounding top on 2-year yields. We've shown it to you on the videos as well. This has been our expectation for many, many months, looking at what was happening in the internals of the economy with higher rates, slowing down the business sector. The business sector then gets into firing people with unemployment. That then gets into the consumer. Those are the things we've seen in the last 3 months in terms of the employment and the consumer. But 6 to 12 months, we saw businesses slowing down. So we've been seeing this rounding top. And I would just plug here our TBL Pro membership. It's about to go up 5 times in price, guys, and you have the opportunity to lock in a lifetime offer right now at only $10 a month. I wouldn't pass this up, because when we introduce more and more reports like we have with our mean median mode and our brand new TBL liquidity indicators, it's just going to get more institutional of a product. And so the price is going up. We want to give you guys the opportunity for the next couple weeks, lock in this low rate for the rest of your life. Now let's look at the yield curve. This is the difference between the 2-year and the 10-year part of the curve. Right now it's negative because 10s are lower in yield than the 2-year part of the curve. Now I want to bring up Donald Trump here. It appears that Trump will become the 47th president of the United States. And in that way, we've seen some trades come back into the market that are pricing in the next Trump presidency, one of them being an expectation of a steeper yield curve. But I want to pause for a second on just thinking linearly that Trump coming back will steepen the yield curve because Trump will cut taxes, keep deficit spending high. That will warrant more treasury borrowing and more treasury borrowing out the yield curve and therefore steepen the yield curve. That is a linear way of thinking about it, and it doesn't account for the recession. It also doesn't account for the risk-off trade in which treasuries become this golden ticket to avoid counterparty risk in a financial crisis. So don't just think linearly that we're going to get a steepening of the yield curve because of Trump. The steepening of the yield curve will come more likely because of a rapid cutting cycle as the Fed realizes that unemployment is getting out of hand. In that way, twos will come down a lot in yield, and you'll get a bull steepener as the whole yield curve will come down. Let's say twos go to 3% and tens go to 3.5%. That would be an 80 basis point steepening from where we are today, but still all yields coming down and not really reflecting any of this huge worry about deficit spending and tax cuts. A deficit spending and tax cut worry for a Trump trade would steepen this curve out to 100 to 200 basis points. We're talking at a 2-year yield at 3% and a 10-year yield at 5%. That type of scenario right now, guys, is highly unlikely to me, just looking at the situation. Much more likely a 50 basis point curve, meaning an 80 basis point steepening on purely a rate cuts trade, having nothing to do with politics. So when you hear the Trump steepening trade, take it with a grain of salt. Remember that treasuries represent the time value of money mostly and that liquidity preference, and then only partially the fundamentals of issuance and supply, which have to do with deficit spending and tax cuts. Let's move to the money markets. Let's look right at the Fed's policy rate expectations. And remember that we look at treasuries to give us the signal. Treasuries lead the Fed. Looking at the Fed's pricing, what people expect in the SOFR futures market or the Fed funds futures market, it's only confirmation for us. It has nothing to do with leading our analysis. Treasury yields lead our analysis, not SOFR futures. SOFR futures basically tell us where the market is exactly positioned. But you guys know when we're looking at where the market is positioned inside 2 months, it's because the Fed doesn't disrupt based on these SOFR futures markets. What the Fed doesn't do is listen to 2-year yields explicitly and just take raw signal from that like they didn't do with Silicon Valley in 2023. Twos came down 125 basis points in a week. The Fed didn't cut. They put other Band-Aids on the system. This time around, 2-year yields are about almost 100 basis points, I would say, below the policy rate now. And 100 basis points tells the Fed they need to be cutting. But the Fed actually is so lagging that it takes them so long to catch up where the market actually sees them in reality, which is cutting rates by 100 basis points. So again, the SOFR futures, like we have for you on the screen, are a mere confirmation to our analysis, okay? First cut in September and 3 cuts by January is really what we have here. 4 cuts, it looks, by around March. So over the next 9 months, 1% of interest rate cuts, you can actually take that to the bank. And I mean that you can think about refinancing your home lower over the next 9 months here. That is absolutely going to happen on the policy rate. What happens to mortgage rates is going to be due to other fundamentals in addition to the policy rate, but the policy rate will be the main determinant. It is absolutely heading lower at the very minimum here in September and December, but now I'm looking at the potential with bad economic releases for it to move to September, November, and December. We're talking about 75 basis points of policy rate cuts before Christmas. It is very possible here. It's actually a coin flip, and I would even lock in September and December 50 basis points by Christmas with this optionality here for 75. The Fed has retained the optionality. They have indicated to the market repeatedly this month they are ready to cut. Inflation has come down. It's below 3% on an unrounded basis. It's a green light for the Fed. So get those refi docs ready. Now let's talk about SOFR. We're still here in the money markets, and we have seen SOFR tick higher over the last few days. Basically, it never came back down to the bottom end of the range after the June 30th quarter end, where you see that little spike here at the end of June. So is 5.35 something that we're going to start screaming about? No, but we do have our eyes on it because mid-month rises in the repo rate are not typical. Okay, so something is going on in repo, and it's my job to cover it. So I reached out to our trader friends on Wall Street here. So a special shout out to those traders that read the publication and offer us color on the market. We greatly appreciate you. And here is what we learned from Wall Street. The tick up in SOFR is possibly due to an uptick in SOFR usage. So let me show you that chart next. So we have here a steady increase in SOFR usage. What is the usage due to? These are dealer treasury positions that are, they need to finance them through the repo market. So I'm a primary dealer. I'm using SOFR to the tune of $2 trillion every night, so across dealers. And I'm using that because I have $2 trillion of inventory that I need to finance. Now, if think about Bitcoin too. If we have Bitcoin longs that need to finance leverage positions, they're going to have to pay up for that funding. Funding rate goes up. The SOFR rate is going up just like a funding rate would go up for Bitcoin in the futures market in a bull market. We're in a bull market in treasuries. I said that in the beginning of the video. If there's a bull market in treasuries, what do dealers want? They want inventory. How do they get that inventory? They have to finance it. How do they finance that inventory? We'll offer you 5.35 tonight instead of 5.33. We'll actually offer you 5.45. And that's what we're hearing on the street is that the top quartile of these dealers that are taking out SOFR loans are doing so at 5.45. This is something to pay attention to. It could absolutely be what our trader friend told us, which is that leverage is coming into the market. It could also be something else, which is that these positions are, the banks are struggling to finance these positions and basically have to offer a higher yield to the market. We will not know which path here until the next few days or weeks go by, or really we get into this next month end here at July 31st. Month end is always a tricky time for repo and dealer positions. So you guys know, you can find a home here. Those that want repo analysis of SOFR, I've traded the repo markets for many years. I resigned from the desk in 2019, but I've kept my ear to the streets and literally to Wall Street on the evolution of the repo market is something that I do research on every single day. We bring you that information really unlike any other macro shop out there. Now, the last thing I want to talk about today is the Bitcoin price and specifically the MVRV valuation metric that we use. Now remember that realized price is like your cold storage price. It's the price at which you transferred it from your exchange to your hardware wallet. The market price is your exchange price. That's what you're buying and selling it on the exchange. So the exchange price, the market price, is much more volatile than the realized price because that realized price is an average price of movement on the chain. The market price chops around because exchange buyers and sellers are moving that price around every single second. So the ratio between these two prices, MVRV, is our Bitcoin valuation. Is it too hot or too cold or just right? We would argue that an MVRV around 2 is mid bull market, classic bull market behavior from Bitcoin. So we like to see this bounce in this valuation ratio. We don't want to see it get to 5 to 10 because that would mean that the cold storage price, those people have a 5x to 10x gain. It means they're definitely going to come in and sell. But if they have only a 2x gain, they're not really motivated to take that profit necessarily. We will look more to short-term holder realized price and short-term holder MVRV. These are things we're covering in our weekly risk report, mean, median, mode. So make sure you check that out at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. But the MVRV here being around 2, we think is a very healthy mid-bull market characteristic of Bitcoin. Make sure that you guys subscribe to this channel, subscribe to the pod if you're listening. Give us a review and tell other people what you benefit from this analysis. We also want to hear it. What are your questions? We want to answer those as well. So make sure you do all that, and we'll catch you guys next time.